Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to a Monday morning here on News Talk 1400 DWS. Penny for your thoughts. So glad you're along with us today. You heard the phone numbers, emails, and text all morning today between 9 and 11, regardless of the topic that we're discussing. You can certainly send those my way, especially the texts and emails, and we'll circle back to those if we're talking about something else during the course of the show. But a lot to talk about from a national level. The James Comey book, of course, we talked about that at the end of last week. He was on television over the weekend, if you did not see it, George Stephanopoulos, ABC News, with the big interview. So we'll talk about that for a few minutes today. Also, just from a fun perspective, we have the 70th anniversary of WGN Television showing Cubs games. Jack Brickhouse and Harry Carey and all the guys who have been the great broadcasters over the years will visit that topic, most likely in hour number two here today as well. And what is going on with this weather? You looked outside your window. I mean, we're looking outside here at downtown Champaign, and it's snowing. Like very steady snow coming down from the sky. So here we are. What is this? April 16th? Snow here in East Central Illinois and in downtown Champaign. I know numerous accidents. State police had a little warning you heard with Dave Gentry and Elizabeth with some of the slick roads out there. So be careful as you drive around today. We'll take your phone calls, emails, and texts all the way up till 11 o'clock. Busy week this week. Of course, at the end of the week or midweek onward is Ebert Fest, starting with The Fugitive. Harrison Ford, remember that? That'll start it off 7 o'clock Wednesday night. List of other movies going on along the way. We'll get to that during the course of this show, but particularly on Wednesday, as Jim always did, visit with Chaz Ebert, on Wednesday. And then in studio, we'll also have another guest for you then. And then also, we're, a couple of weeks out from the Christy, Illinois Marathon. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. Towards the end of the week, on Friday, at the end of the work week, Greg Solier is going to be with us in studio with Dr. Jim Angel from the State Water Survey. They'll be in together on Friday. And also Max Armstrong, farm broadcaster. We're hoping, I think when I set it up, that we might be looking at planting started in the fields by this time. But I don't think that's going to happen right away with all that's happening with the weather. So busy week this week, and we'll take your phone calls, emails, and texts all along the way. So we'll get it started on this Monday. We'll come back and get your phone calls, your thoughts, Penny for your thoughts, as we work our way through this Monday morning. Tomorrow is tax day, by the way, as well. In case you didn't know that, it's interesting to me. I found some percentages of people, when it comes to tax day and paying their taxes in general, what people do and do not know in regards to that. It might surprise you. Maybe it won't surprise you. Well, we've had some snow showers all morning, a high of 38 today on this Monday. We'll come back and get it started here, try to warm it up a little bit as we continue with more after this opening break.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Well, if we can't, just will not cry about it, right? We just will laugh. How about that, huh? Well, be careful out there as the snow is flying here in East Central Illinois. And I want to remind you, if you are involved in an accident today, here's the place to call, Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair, full-service collision repair facility. And we hope you don't need it, but I know some of you might after this morning. They know having a car accident's a serious matter. Choosing the best collision repair specialist is also very serious, and you want to get it right. Dave Miller and Bill Gallo, very passionate about their business. In fact, 18 years in the business at last count. And at this time and since that time, they've repaired over 23,000 vehicles. So they're hands-on in their shop, know the collision repair business inside and out. So if you've had an accident, maybe you had one this morning, and you don't know what to do, well, give them a call, contact them. They're on the south side of I-74 between Neal Street and Prospect Exits there. Very attractive building. I drive by it every morning on my way to work. Free estimates are always offered. Maybe you don't know, hey, what's this going to cost me? Maybe I didn't smash it up too bad, but I did ding it up here this morning. They can give you some free estimates as well. So take advantage of the opportunity. Visit their website, Gallo Miller, them the keys. They'll take care of the rest of it, get you back in good shape. 356-9397 are the phone lines today. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or you can email us, talk@wdws.com. James Comey interviewed by George Stephanopoulos. Of course, for those of you that remember, George Stephanopoulos worked. He was communications director in the Clinton era, worked there for a few years, and then later, of course, went into television, has been on ABC's Sunday morning show for several years now. But he talked, of course, with James Comey. So all of this courtesy of ABC News. But as you know, the story with the Clinton emails, there was the famous press conference, I think, the day after the 4th of July. He came out, said that no reasonable prosecutor went into all of this with the Clinton emails and so forth. Then came about a week before the election and said, hey, sent a letter to Congress that we're reopening the Clinton investigation. There was ties into Anthony Weiner. You know the story. But anyway, here was Comey's comments to George Stephanopoulos about all of that and the last week of the campaign in 2016 and in regards to Hillary Clinton and or Donald Trump. Here you go.
But the honest answer is it wouldn't change the way I think about it. I mean, my hope, I didn't write the book for this reason, but talking about leadership, it was important to tell the email story because it's me trying to figure out how to lead well, that people will read that story and try to put themselves in my shoes, try to realize that I'm not trying to help a candidate or hurt a candidate, I'm trying to do the right thing. And you can come up with different conclusions. Reasonable people would have chosen a different door for reasonable reasons. But it's just not fair to say we were doing it for some illegitimate reason.
But at some level, wasn't the decision to reveal influenced by your assumption that Hillary Clinton was going to win and your concern that she wins? This comes out several weeks later, and then that's taken by her opponents as a sign that she's an illegitimate president.
It must have been. I don't remember consciously thinking about that, but it must have been. Because I was operating in a world where Hillary Clinton was going to beat Donald Trump. And so I'm sure that it was a factor. Like I said, I don't remember spelling it out, but it had to have been that she's going to be elected president. And if I hide this from the American people, she'll be illegitimate the moment she's elected, the moment this comes out.
If you knew that letter would elect Donald Trump, you'd still send it?
I would. In fact, that was a question asked by one of my best people, a deputy general counsel in the FBI, who was a very thoughtful and quiet person who didn't speak a lot. And that morning we were making that decision, she asked, should you consider that what you're about to do may help elect Donald Trump president? And I paused, and then I said, thank you for asking that question. That's a great question. But the answer is not for a moment, because down that path lies the death of the FBI as an independent force in American life. If I ever start considering whose political fortunes will be affected by a decision, we're done. We're no longer that group in America that is apart from the partisans, and that can be trusted. We're just another player in the tribal battle.
All right, so that was some of the back and forth there with George Stephanopoulos, and all courtesy of ABC News. They had the interview with Comey, James Comey, that came out. We talked about some of this Friday, I guess, was the day we talked about it, went back and forth on it a little bit. He also talked, and this goes about a minute or so, about moral leadership from the president himself. Here's what he had to say about that, and Stephanopoulos asking him about, is the president fit to be president? Here's his answer.
You write that President Trump is unethical, untethered to the truth. Is Donald Trump unfit to be president?
Yes, but not in the way I often hear people talk about it. I don't buy the stuff about him being mentally incompetent to early stages of dementia. He strikes me as a person of above average intelligence who's tracking conversations and knows what's going on. I don't think he's medically unfit to be president. I think he's morally unfit to be president.
White lives matter! White lives matter!
A person who sees moral equivalence in Charlottesville, our president must embody respect and adhere to the values that are at the core of this country, the most important being truth. This president is not able to do that. He is morally unfit to be president.
If you're right, what is the remedy? Should Donald Trump be impeached?
Impeachment is a question of law and fact and politics.
So you're a citizen. You have a judgment.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll give you a strange answer. I hope not. Because I think impeaching and removing Donald Trump from office would let the American people off the hook and have something happen indirectly that I believe they're duty-bound to do directly. People in this country need to stand up and go to the voting booth and vote their values. And so impeachment, in a way, would short-circuit that.
All right, there's just a couple of clips from the James Comey interview. Your reaction to that, certainly welcome. What you think of what he had to say on the various topics there regarding the president and also with Hillary Clinton. You got to remember that both sides were pretty mad at him near the end of the campaign, during the course of that campaign. When he came out in July, was not going to press any charges at that time against Hillary Clinton and the missing emails and all of that. The Trump campaign, of course, was furious about that at the time. Then a week before the election, he comes out or sends a letter that he's going to reopen it. Then he decided not to, and the Clinton campaign blames him for, in some respects, losing the election there. So there's a lot more to all that, but those were just a couple of interesting clips, and I was interested, too, in his comments about impeachment and that short-circuiting the political process about, hey, if you want to make a change in the 2018 election, you know, if you're a Democrat, you get out there and you vote, and you vote for the control of Congress, you know, vote out the Republicans, vote in the Democrats, go from there, and then 2020, you run somebody, and you do it that way. That's the way the political process works. So I just thought that was interesting, his comments on that. So anyway, 356-9397, you can agree or disagree with any of that or whatever you think. Feel free to pass it along either through emails, phone call this morning on a Monday, as the snow is flying here in East Central Illinois. I want to remind you that voting continues. The News Talk 1400 DWS and News Gazette Media is the people's choice, the best of East Central Illinois. WDWS.com and cast your votes in a variety of categories, including food, dining, nightlife, kids, pets, and more. The people's choice brought to you by Express Employment, in part by Express Employment. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll have some reaction here for you. Let's start with Sam on a Monday morning. Hey, Sam, how are you?
Oh, good morning. Good. Beautiful spring day.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, this isn't about the clips you were playing there.
Yeah.
This is about the article in the paper today about the plaza downtown.
Okay.
Champagne Plaza.
Was that in the paper yesterday or today?
No, today's paper.
Today? Okay.
Well, I guess I'm in a parallel universe with the Economic Development and Planning Department here, because some of the things they want to do and down there, like an open lawn area,
mm-hmm.
ground level water features that people can interact with, but they aren't like a children's splash park, family friendly, pet friendly, shaded areas where kids can play. A block and a half west is Westside Park. It's been there over 100 years. It's got all those things.
So you're saying they'd be duplicating things, huh?
It's redundant.
Yeah.
Plus, I guess they don't drive around town. 90% of the streets are falling apart. The city needs to get back to streets, sewers, police and fire protection. Forget about North Neal Street becoming a corridor and mm-hmm. all the money that they're going to put into this plaza. We could be well spent somewhere
doing something else.
Well, I think so.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, yeah, I was just scanning through the article as you were talking. Yeah, all the different things you mentioned, all the things there, lawn area, ground level water features, movable seating.
Gee, walk a block west, and there it is.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay.
Guys.
Well, good.
I mean, if the thousands of people that live downtown can't walk a block west, you know, they've got all that right there. They can walk their dog down there and then come back to their there aren't 1,000 people down there anyway, but they make it like that's the center of the universe down there.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's in the preliminary stage or the talking stage, so.
Yeah, and then they'll have another meeting, and 12 people will show up and say, this is what we want, and then that'll become the preferred, this is the preferred plan. That's not, that's just nonsense.
All right.
I went by there yesterday afternoon, and that surface parking lot was completely full. And practically every day it is, where they want to put in their plaza. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. If they want to be truthful, just come out and say, we've got to get rid of that, so they have to use our parking garage because it'll never pay for itself if we don't. I've never seen that in an article yet.
Hmm.
I mean, that place is full with parking, and there's people downtown. Okay, I understand.
Hmm.
But if you take that away and they have to go to the parking garage, I'm not sure people are going to make that jump.
Yeah. How far is the surface lot? The surface lot and the parking garage are fairly close, right?
Well, they're fairly close, but still, yeah. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that won't make that jump.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Sam, we'll see what everybody else thinks, okay?
All right.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. 356-9397. Let's go to John. We had a little story about Barbara Bush not doing well. Hey, how are you, John?
Hey, I'm doing very good, Brian. And on that note, I really hope the nation will pray for Barbara Bush, because that was my girl. Everybody said she looked like grandma, but I tell you what, that lady was strong. She never said words. She was quiet. She only smiled. But don't she remind you of, like, hey, you going to church with me. You act up, I got you. I mean, she was I remember when she had to go speak to the women's college, and a lot of the young women stood up and protest, like, whatever she ever did, and she told them, you don't want me here. I don't have to be here. I raised two presidents, and she just went on and on. And furthermore, with y'all, I'm out of here. That is a strong woman, but pray for her. But on another note, with all this stuff with Comey, I just wish she'd do like the Clintons. Go away. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. And then on my last note, Brian.
Yeah.
I remember when President Obama was trying to allocate money for shovel-ready jobs, and laughed at him. Boy, you look at the roads and the parking lots in Champaign right now. You know, we had a lot of bad weather. We're not doing anything because we don't have the money. Now, all of a sudden, they're trying to fix all this stuff. There's no works on the main roads, but they're work on the side roads. We got better side roads than we do have main roads. So I'll just leave everybody with that thought.
All right. Hey, thank you, John.
Take care.
All right. Appreciate it. Yeah, the roads infrastructure, around the country, there's talk of an infrastructure bill. We'll see if they can get anything done in this kind of election year. But we'll see on that. But, yeah, there are some crumbling infrastructure, no doubt about it, everywhere in various places. So they need to do something. Yeah, the former president's, the first former first lady, wife, of course, to former U.S. President George H.W. Bush, if you had not heard, is in failing health, decided to no longer seek medical treatment. That was from the office of the former president. She's 92 years old. The brief statement did not indicate the nature of Mrs. Bush's illness, but said that she had a series of recent hospitalizations. She's known, of course, as the Silver Fox. Let's go back to the phones. Hi, Brad. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. This is Brad with Dick Butler Roofing.
Hey.
And I don't know if you're going to be talking to Greg Solier today, but on behalf of the other contractors and the folks in the area that work outside, okay, we get the joke. Turn spring back on.
Boy, I agree with you. I don't know what. Have we even had a day or two? We've had about, what, 2 or 3 days of actual spring, I think.
We've had a few days without a jacket on that we've actually been able to get some work started, but it's just a terribly frustrating spring. And I thought I would just call and give you that insight from out in the field before everybody gets too serious with everything else that's
going
on.
Have you, have you seen it like this that you can remember? This late?
You know, we usually struggle with March, but we don't usually struggle with April, at least not with snow, with some rain. But, March is give or take, but we really want to be going strong in April. And I hope all the other guys and gals that work outside stored up enough nuts last fall to last this long.
Well, I know, because your business is dependent on the weather, and as you say, you're probably looking for a strong start to the year, and here you are just kind of, what can you do in weather like this?
You know, we've done a lot of small service stuff. We've got a few jobs started, but it's really hard to commit to a project of much size until we get some stability.
Yeah. Well, I feel for you, and Sawyer, you'll be in here on Friday, so you can ask him directly.
Maybe I'll call in. I'll call in when he's here.
There you go.
All right. Well, you have a great day.
Thank you, Brad.
Yep. Goodbye.
Great to hear from you. All right. We'll take a break. 9:28. We'll have news headlines here at the bottom of the hour. More for you on this snowy Monday, if you can believe that, as we've had the cold temperatures, 29 degrees, well below the average for this date. What do you make of all the Comey book talk over the weekend? We played a couple of clips for you on that. We've talked a little bit about Mrs. Bush, the wife of the former U.S. President George H.W. Bush, in failing health. We've got some other stories we'll touch on. Also reminisce a little bit about the 70th anniversary of WGN Television, showing the Chicago Cubs. If you got some thoughts on that, send them our way as well. Back in a moment. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS. We'll get a text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line here just ahead of the news. 3515357, and feel free to send in anything along the way throughout the morning, especially on the text and email lines here. CJ says, WGN in the spring of 1973, I went to work for WITY in Danville. Among my weekend duties, engineering the ball games from WGN, they arrived at the studios via designated phone line. It was a raw feat. It was necessary to stay alert for the breaks. Play-by-play and color, none other than Dizzy Dean and Pee Wee Reese. I was 22 at the time. It remains a cherished radio memory. So, yeah, that was from CJ on the text line. The television broadcast, though, I mean, they, started back 70 years ago. So we'll delve into that a little deeper as we work our way through the morning as well. Michael Kaiser is here with news headlines, and we'll come back with more of your phone calls, emails, and texts all the way up until 11 o'clock today. Chaz Ebert on Wednesday. We'll look at Ebert Fest a little closer on Wednesday as that comes up this weekend. Got Ebert Fest and the marathon now on two different weekends after we had them together, I think, last year. And also, at the end of the week, Greg Sawyer and Max Armstrong, our guests, near the end of the week as well on Friday. 9:31, Michael's up next, news headlines.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
Somewhere under the snow, again, is green grass, we think anyway, and your yard is an important part of the place you call home, of course, and you'd like to take care of that yard, keep it looking nice all year long when you can see it. And the University of Illinois, among those who trust Spring Green Lawn Care to provide some specialized applications to the athletic fields over at the University of Illinois. They also take care of large sports fields in the area, fields at St. Joseph Ogden, Catlin, Monticello, Mattoon, and more. Not only is Spring Green an expert in lawn control, but they also excel in insect control. Ask about grub control and other pest problems that they can take care of. And a special offer for a limited time. New customers can save 20% off when you choose Spring Green's full program. And if you prepay, you'll save up to an additional 10% off the full program price. And also, even with the snow around, it's important to be thinking about fertilizer, pre-emergent weed control, and never too late to get up on the aforementioned grub control. They guarantee weed control with at least three applications. All of their technicians at Spring Green are licensed by the state of Illinois. So here's the number to call. It is 359-2111, or visit spring-green.com. Ask for JT Warmbier or Steve Imke. So make sure you contact them. Spring Green, one of our sponsors here, for your thoughts. So right now we stand at 29 degrees, still some snow flying. Be careful. Excuse me, on the roadways here today in East Central Illinois. Mentioned the James Comey interview from yesterday, courtesy of ABC. His president's personal attorney, said to appear in federal court to argue over evidence found during a recent FBI raid. Stormy Daniels' lawyer says she'll be there. Michael Cohen under criminal investigation for personal business dealings was ordered to appear in federal court today in New York to help answer questions about his law practice. He is denied any wrongdoing, so that is ongoing. Also, Bill Cosby arriving for the sixth day of his sexual assault retrial. He'll again come face-to-face with his primary accuser, the 80-year-old comedian walking through heavy rain in East Suburban Philadelphia to a courthouse there today. Locally, some of the news here. 1 week from today, we could know more whether Burnham Mansion is spared the wrecking ball to make way for an expanded Central High School. We heard from Chris Kleppel on a different topic, of course, with the charter school on Friday, but the Unit 4 school board president says an RFP on the relocation of the mansion only yielded one bidder, the one that our newsroom knew about, University of Illinois alum Christopher Enck of Wilmette, who has experience in those type of projects. Terms of the bid were not made public. Kleppel says that should happen by April 23rd. That's when the school board expected to vote on the bid. And the Daily Illini, in a way, life has come full circle for the Daily Illini, the award-winning independent student newspaper at the U of I, the DI, as it's known. Spent decades headquartered in the climate-controlled basement of Illini Hall at Wright and John Streets, built in 1907. They then went to Green Street, consolidated everything there, the DI, the Illini Yearbook, WPGU Radio, Technograph Engineering Magazine, and so forth. Now they're moving again to the basement of the current University YMCA at Wright and Chalmers Street, steps from the U of I quad. And Tom Costello, the board president there for Illini Media, says we're going back to where we are. Ed Bond. They're
good
moving
morning,
again. They're moving. So you were there
when? I was there in the mid to late 70s, and WPGU was located in the basement of Weston Hall in the six-pack over on campus.
Yeah.
And, we had a great time. And, you know, that led to where I am doing this today.
Right.
And you said you're going to talk with Dave Ennett. That led to me working with Dave Ennett at WBBM in Chicago. So, you know, it's a small world, the broadcast world.
Yes, it is.
And it also, I met while I was working at WPGU.
Okay. So they used to be, were they consolidated or they were separate when you were working?
It was separate, yeah. And like you said, the newspaper was Illini Hall on Wright Street. And then we were at Weston Hall, which is, well, where all the dormitories are, over there off of 4th Street.
Mm-hmm. Well, sounds like they're going back to campus now.
They're going back to campus, and I guess for people that are in the journalism school, communication school, you know, Greg Hall is across the street from the YMCA, so it'll be good to have them all down there. And it's interesting how these media companies move around. I mean, you talk to WGN Radio; they're just starting or just finishing a move
from where they've been. They figured out what to do with the letters that were on the side of the building.
They were at the Tribune Tower, and now they're moving to Illinois Center, or they have moved, or I don't know. People keep moving, but I was at Weston Hall with PGU.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you, Ed. Appreciate that. 356-9397. You can text us. You can call us on that line. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357, and you can email us at talk@wdws.com. Let's see what else is happening here. Oh, sports-wise, over the weekend, I don't know if you got out to the Illinois men's golf meet. I guess the medal round match play, I guess is what they did out there against Bradley. Beat Bradley out at Stone Creek. First time they had been home for a match. I heard two different dates. I heard 2008, I heard 2011. Whatever it was a long time. And they were out there, and I saw a lot of people were out there. So I don't know if you were out there, what you saw, what you thought. The Illini men's golf team beating Bradley over the weekend. Men's gymnastics, of course, they won the, 28th, 29th Big Ten title in school history here recently. They're at the NCAA championships this weekend. Illini baseball with a sweep of Rutgers. They had a wild game, was it Friday, where they were up 9-0 in the first inning and then had to rally to win 13-12. Illini softball at home this Wednesday for a doubleheader. Boston Marathon is today out in Boston. This is, the five-year anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing. And Mark Smith, former Illini, of course, announced he was transferring. Well, guess where he's going? To Missouri. He has to sit out this year, but that will fuel the fire a little more for the Bragging Rights game in 2019 in December. All right, we're at 943-356-9397. Lines are open here this morning. You can join us on the phone lines all the way up till 11 o'clock. We'll have another open line time tomorrow. We'll take your phone calls, emails, and texts. Talk a little bit about the Champaign Centennial Dance Marathon tomorrow for a few minutes. Ebert Fest coming up this weekend. Chaz Ebert, of course, you know her very well. We'll visit with her on Wednesday, get a preview of all the movies and all the events taking place at the Virginia Theater this weekend for Ebert Fest. And then Friday, Greg Solier and Jim Angel, and also Max Armstrong. So busy week ahead on Penny. Back with more of your phone calls, emails, and texts after this time out on Penny for Your Thoughts. I don't know if you know it. It is the 16th. Tax Day, by the way, is tomorrow, April 17th. When presented with three possible dates about when the taxes are due this year, they took a survey. 34% correctly selected April 17th as the due date. Because I guess they have a holiday today in Washington, D.C., Emancipation Day, I believe it is, in D.C. So that's why the taxes aren't due until tomorrow, the 17th. So that means 66% didn't know when their taxes were due, if you base that on the poll. 10% don't know their filing status. Just 38% know how much of their paycheck goes towards taxes in this poll. Nearly 50% say that they experience stress or lost sleep over completing their taxes. Yeah, I'd guess that. 70% are worried about filing their taxes correctly. And it says still 61% report filing their taxes on their own. I don't know. I think I'd let somebody else do it if you can. But, to each his own. 356-9397 is how you can reach us on the phone lines today. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Trump, the president, by the way, set to promote the Republican tax law during an event in South Florida. White House says the president will hold a roundtable today. Local business owners in the Miami area will be joined by the Treasury Secretary, Labor Secretary, and the Small Business Administration head. Facing some headwinds this fall, it says, Republicans placing their midterm election hopes on selling the benefits of the tax law to Americans. The president also hosting the Japanese prime minister at his Florida club this week. So those are some of the tax stories that are in there today. Let's see what else is going on. I mentioned Ebert Fest at the end of the week here, starting in midweek, I guess. The Fugitive is the first movie up, 7 o'clock Wednesday night at the Virginia. Interstellar at noon on Thursday. Selena at 4 o'clock on Thursday. Belle, 8:30 on Thursday. Columbus at noon on Friday. A Page of Madness, 3:30 Friday. American Splendor, 8:30 p.m. Friday. 13th, 10:30 a.m. Saturday. Daughters of the Dust, 2:30 on Saturday. Rambling Rose, 5:30 on Saturday. The Big Lebowski, 9:30 on Saturday. And Rumble, The Indians Who Rock This World, at noon on Sunday. Nice article by Paul Wood, by the way, over the weekend on the Illini director of the Runaway Success. Of course, The Fugitive had his beginnings at the University of Illinois, worked at WILL-TV, eventually led to the creation of The Fugitive. That'll be played at the Virginia Theater as part of Ebert Fest starting on Wednesday night. 356-9397 are the phone line numbers. You can text us. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. Email us, talk@wdws.com. Had some clips for you early in the hour, in case you're joining us late, on James Comey and his interview with George Stephanopoulos. I don't know what you thought, what you heard about all of that, but certainly you can give me your reaction on that. If you have a local reaction, had a reaction to an article in the paper today about the plaza there on North Neal Street, whether that's a good idea. If there's something you want to bring up like that, feel free to do it. You can jump in at any point along the way. You can call, text, or email at any point during the show every day. Depending, doesn't necessarily have to be what we're talking about at the moment. If you want to steer it the other direction. Hey, Lawrence, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. A couple things I'd like to get your thoughts, and maybe some other folks could call in. First, I'll contribute something about the Ebertfest. I went down there 2-3 days ago. It was a lovely day. I rode my bike, etc. But the news is that they don't have the booklets yet. And I was told by a kind woman there that they didn't expect them in till Wednesday. So that might save some other people some effort to go down there and get a book.
Okay.
My question to you is, can you tell me more about what's going on about the old Burnham Mansion and the school board? And are they just asking for bids for people who will pay the school board for the rights to tear the building down? Is that what they're doing?
I don't know. Let me look at that story again and see if I can... Or I'll get to see it. So in 1 week from today, we could know for sure whether Burnham is spared the wrecking ball. The Unit 4 president says an RFP on the relocation of the mansion only yielded one bidder. So I guess what they're trying to do is see if there's anybody that wants to move it or relocate it. And that way they got one bid on that, based on this story that I'm looking at here from our newsroom.
Well, while you read on, I'll share some memories here.
Okay.
There was a fine letter to the editor probably over a year ago by someone that was involved in them. It was sort of a kind of person that would be involved in this moving and destruction, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought the author of that letter made a superb case for why the building was just too big to move, that it would have to be partially dismantled and moved in pieces if it would be moved. Now, I have an idea that I did propose in my letter to the city council back in the days when there was discussion as to whether this would be declared a landmark and therefore spare the wrecking ball. But sadly, it appears that they never read any of those letters. You just submit it, and then you go and you talk for 5 minutes, and all they pay attention to is what you talk about. They never read those letters, apparently, or any of the documents. So I don't know what's... That needs to be improved, but one of the points I made in my letter was giving it landmark status would give a chance to think through some other possibilities for use of that land. First off, let me remind some of the people who have listened and commented that they hear me on your program that there have been different descriptions of how to use the land that was taken over. This is several lots, not just the one on the corner there of Lynn and church.
It was at least three, right?
One, two, three, or more like five or six,
okay,
depending on how you think about it. You know, some of them were all related to the original corner lot there, etc. And some of them have some genuine historical value, but not so terrific that it's worth PACA or some other organization actually investing in moving them. But it's they've been used as rooming houses for students and others for some years. The main point that is getting lost, and I've sent letters to school board and PACA people over a year ago about some of these options, and they were totally ignored. That corner, perhaps we taxpayers could get a lot of our money back if that corner were sold to some enterprise that wanted to put up a big deal condo there. You could have the first two or three floors for parking. That would solve that problem. And then, you know, the people there would have a nice view. They would be able to see West Side Park. They'd be able to look to the south, depending on how it was designed. But I could see several $100,000 being paid for that if if indeed there were entrepreneurs with enough money, then they did agree with the concept that this would be a grand location for a rather well-to-do condo.
Hmm.
Certainly, it would be like, what is it, 2.5 blocks to the Virginia Theater from that corner? There's increasing number of restaurants in the downtown area. They're all catering to those mm-hmm. apartment buildings where all the students are in. So I'm thinking there's a possibility at least that this could be a magnet, a draw that people with enough money, they might like that as their Champaign Urbana residence. So it's just an idea I wanted to remind people.
Okay. Well, very good, Lawrence. You've reminded them well. Thank you. Appreciate it. Now on to Ursula here at 957. Hi, Ursula.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Listen, you have an ad on late at night that says Dream Money, $26 million available, and you just have to go and get it. And then they had apparently one of the recipients from another state on, interviewed him. Well, he wasn't a recipient. He was just one of those people wanting to encourage people to do this. Now, the thing is, now that seems like a perfect trap to me to give out information that shouldn't be given out just because people want a big check. Apparently, this gentleman is getting money every week. How do you like getting your big check every week? And he says, oh, we used to have lots of credit card bills, and now we're getting this money. Well, I don't know that anybody is, you know, I guess can put an ad out, but to me it seems kind of a real trap, you know.
Hmm. And it's on overnight, huh?
Well, it's on real late at night.
Go
to bed and take the radio with me, and that's how I go to sleep.
Yeah.
But it's some interesting things, you know, that are discussed late at night on your station. And this is one of them, and I'm really curious, and I'm just wondering, you know, if it's possible to check it out.
Okay.
Because some people might be hurt by believing this. I can't believe that they're just giving away millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And they don't give a reason for it. Just call in and get your money.
Yeah. Too good to be true.
Right.
Thank you, Ursula.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
We'll check in. I'll check with Jim Lewis, see if he knows anything about that. All right. Might have been part of a syndicated show or something like that, too. Who knows? That late at night. All right, we're approaching 10 o'clock. We've got more to come here on Penny for Your Thoughts, more emails, phone calls, and texts. Thanks for all the input. Hour number one is by the boards on WDWS Champaign.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two of Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm always amazed at how fast this show goes, and that's thanks to you with all your input, phone calls, emails, and texts throughout the morning. We're talking about a variety of topics. We talked about the James Comey book, The Excerpts. We did that at the end of last week. Of course, he was all over TV with his interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos. Played a couple of clips of that from the first hour. If you have any leftover thoughts on that, feel free to pass those along at any time, no matter what we're talking about during the course of the show from 9 to 11. And we've also talked a little bit about downtown Champaign, talked about Ebertfest, the Burnham building discussion there with Unit 4. So we've covered a lot of different things, even talked about the snow and the fact that it's, I don't know if it's snowing at the moment, but it was snowing pretty heavy earlier. State police had several accidents they had to take care of on I-74 in particular earlier this morning. All right, a couple of emails here, and then we've got Marie Polk joining us here from Busey. Going to talk to Freedom Celebration. I know it's April, and why are we talking Freedom Celebration? She'll tell you why here in a moment coming up, because they need some help from some volunteers. Email from Daniel says, Brian, what about Fear the Ghost? Reference and reverence to Chief Alinowick and Red the Galloping Ghost, gone but never forgotten. in referring to Ebert Fest. Just a passing thought. And Dan goes on to say, what's going on involving the new mascot? I think that's on the back burner right now. I don't think they're doing anything in regards to that. At least they were talking about doing something, or at least putting it up to a vote or discussing it with the students. And I think that's been on the back burner for a little while they have this discussion, their critical conversation that they had recently. Also, Jim Lewis let me know, our program director here at the radio station, he said the ad that Ursula was asking about, it's freedomchecks.com. It's a network commercial, so it's not something we've sold or have anything to do with. So I hope that answers her question. And then a text in says, James Comey swore under oath the Trump campaign was not being wiretapped while wiretapping the Trump campaign. So that text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. All right, there we go. We've cleared the deck on that. Feel free to send those our way. We'll get to them during the course of the next hour. 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357, and email us, talk@wdws.com. We'll also, a little later this hour, get into the 70th anniversary of WGN Television covering the Chicago Cubs. All right, Marie Polk is with us. She's from Busey, correct?
That is correct,
just
Brian.
Just down the street here?
Yes.
Yeah? What do you do there?
I am in training and development there, so been there for several years.
Wow. So you've been a regular downtown then?
Yes.
For the most part, yeah. Well, the other reason you're here, and we could talk about that, I guess, but the reason you're here is because of you volunteer with the Freedom Celebration, and you need some volunteers for what? Go ahead and tell us.
Well, our call for volunteers comes a little early this year. We have two priority key positions we need to fill. These two positions are volunteer coordinator and VIP tent coordinator. One is a position that lasts throughout the day on July 4th primarily. It could be filled by one person or multiple people, and we have a board and committee who would help in those key volunteer roles. So this is an urgent plea for those who would like to share their treasure and their talents to come out and be a part of the 69th annual Champaign County Freedom Celebration.
Okay, so is this a combined job or is this two separate jobs? Volunteer coordinator?
Two separate jobs,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, but could be done by multiple people each job?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you're not going it alone. So what all's involved in each of those? I mean, by definition, I hear what you're saying, but what do they do that day specifically?
Okay, so for a volunteer coordinator, basically it would be just rallying all of the volunteers, divvying out the different tasks for the day. Mm-hmm. So just being aware of how the events operate on the 4th and then getting people in key places to make everything happen.
Okay, and the VIP tent, similar?
This is another special opportunity to volunteer. We have a VIP hospitality tent that's very popular, both in the morning for our seniors and then in the evening for a lot of our sponsors and their families. And so that person would manage everything that happens inside that tent, from coordinating food, making sure we have enough seats, welcoming guests, engaging in conversations, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And where's the VIP tent located, usually?
Everything is at the U of I on campus. If you're familiar with where the ticket booths are right there, it's positioned right in that same area across the street from Memorial Stadium.
All right. Marie Polk with us here for a couple of minutes. Freedom Celebration. She's looking for help. If they should reach out, who should they call? How should they go about if they're interested?
Two ways to get in contact with us. The first is the website. There's actually a form that you can fill out to volunteer, different dates and times. That website is July4th.net. It's July, the number 4th.net. Or you can call 217-531-3777, and we'd love to have you.
All right. Give that number again.
It is 217-531-3777.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And anything else we need to know?
It's just a great event. Like I said, it's the 69th annual Champaign County Freedom Celebration. Our theme this year for the parade is Salute to Veterans, and we are honoring retired Sergeant Garrett Anderson, U.S. Army, Illinois National Guard, as our Grand Marshal for the parade. And again, we'd love to have you join us.
Well, we're still a couple of months out, 3 months out, but it comes fast, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah. Hey, Marie, thank you. Good
thank
luck with
so
all
much,
this.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Hope you find some help.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us on this morning.
You're very welcome. Marie Polk from Busey, but also volunteering with the Freedom Celebration, July4th.net, or you can call 531-3777. All right, thank you. We'll talk to you later, and we'll come back with more after this. All right, we're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. News Talk 1400 DWS 356-9397 is the phone number. You can email us, talk at WDWS.com. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 351-5357. Voting continues. The News Talk 1400 DWS, the News Gazette Media is the people's choice. The best of East Central Illinois, WDWS.com, and cast your votes in a variety of categories, including food, dining, nightlife, kids, pets, and more. The People's Choice, brought to you in part by Express Employment. Well, I have a choice. One of my favorite broadcasters is Dave Ennett, up at WGN in Chicago. Dave Ennett, the voice of the Wildcats, how are you?
I'm doing great. Very kind of you to say that. Good to talk to you, Bri.
Yeah, well, I wanted to check in with you because you're a Chicago media person. Up covering the Wildcats, of course, with Northwestern, but also at WGN Radio. Now, WGN TV, of course, for many, many years has continued to be the Cubs, where the Cubs are found in some capacity, and 70 years they've been doing that. That's remarkable.
It is. It's the 70th anniversary of Cubs baseball on WGN TV. And so for tonight's game against St. Louis, assuming they play, because hate to tell you this, but it's been snowing all morning in Chicago, but they are planning some coverage around the broadcast game tonight to commemorate the 70th anniversary.
And you've, I'm sure, along the way, you've worked at WGN TV and radio, but crossed paths with some of the great broadcasters up there.
Well, I was fortunate early in my career to work with Harry Carey and Jack Brickhouse and Jack Rosenberg, who is still going strong in his 90s, and saw Jack not too long ago. But people, of course, that I think they're like household names to Cubs fans, Vince Lloyd and Lou Boudreau, and I mean, it was a great crew. And Jack Brickhouse, basically, I'm speaking to you from Tribune Tower from our radio studios here. The TV studios are up off of Addison Street, up on Bradley Place on the north side. But Jack Brickhouse, I think, gets credit for having pretty much built that place. I mean, he did everything there was to do in broadcasting. He did Cubs games. He did White Sox games. He anchored their political convention coverage. He did a weekly show on the FBI. He hosted music shows and live performances of bands. And, you know, he did everything. And of course, that was kind of the business back in those days. Not unlike a Renaissance man such as yourself, Brian, but where you did everything there was to do in the business. And Jack Brickhouse, there's a statue of Jack outside our studios on Michigan Avenue. He was a Chicago institution, but Jack, I think, is best known for having broadcast all those Cubs games on WGN-TV for all those years. And so getting the chance to work with him, to work with Harry Carey, who was obviously, it was late in his career that he came from the White Sox to the Cubs. But those guys are part of an era that we'll never see again in this business.
Yeah, well, that TV connection, of course, TV was in its infancy when all this started, and it's evolved over the years. But, you know, what did that mean for the fans in Chicago to be able to, I mean, that connection grew every day with those TV broadcasts, right?
Well, and especially with day baseball, because mm-hmm. you talk to anyone who grew up here, and they'll tell you they came home from school, ran home at 3 o'clock or whatever, turned on WGN-TV to catch the Cubs game with Jack Brickhouse on the call. And that's how generations of Chicagoans remember the Cubs and became fans. And, of course, it happened with the White Sox, too. But because of day baseball, I think, you know, there was that bond between the young fans and the Cubs and Jack Brickhouse. And so you've got that. It's hard to believe, but 70 years. I believe it's the longest running television association with a particular team in all of Major League Baseball.
And then, of course,
70-year relationship. And who knows how long it's going to go, because, of course, the Cubs have talked openly about starting their own network here in the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Dave Ennett with us from up at WGN Radio in Chicago, a friend of mine, does the Northwestern Wildcats on the radio as well. Now, WGN Radio itself is carrying the White Sox now, right?
We're carrying the White Sox. We carried the Cubs through 2014 after 90 years, and you know, for a variety of business reasons that I think have been pretty well documented. But you know, I think there was a decision made for the Cubs went to a different station, and we didn't carry baseball there the last few years. And then this year, the opportunity came up to carry the White Sox. And quite frankly, even though we've been so closely associated with the Cubs all those years, you know, people forget that for just as long, WGN-TV has carried the White Sox. Mm-hmm. And so it's the White Sox are not a new entity to these call letters or to this company. And in fact, WGN Radio at one time did carry White Sox baseball prior to this year. And, you know, it's been, I think, just having baseball back on the air. It's something I've missed, and I'm glad to have them.
When you think about it, too, when Harry came in, and obviously the superstation, WGN, and people across the country, I mean, that just magnified it even more with the Cubs going back to the TV broadcast.
Yeah, well, no question. I mean, they were booming the Cubs to pretty much anywhere, any cable system in America is in the infancy of cable television. The superstation, along with WTBS, WGN was the other big superstation, and so people were watching the Cubs. I mean, you ask major leaguers today about the Cubs, well, they used to watch the Cubs on WGN-TV. And the White Sox and the Bulls and in recent years the Blackhawks, but now a lot of those games are not carried out of the market. I mean, it's changed some of the regulations as far as what they can carry on the superstation mm-hmm. or on cable systems outside the Chicago market. Some of their choice has been to curtail some of that programming. So it's a little bit different than it was in the heyday of the superstation, but still, it had a tremendous impact. And of course, Brian, you see all these fans who come in to Chicago to go to a game because they've watched these teams on WGN in Iowa or wherever outside the market, and now they want to go and see these places in person.
Before I let you go, Dave, you know Jimmy Phillips very well, obviously, the athletic director there, and, of course, started at Illinois here as a manager and mm-hmm. and worked his way up the ladder. And what, his wife, Laura, is running in the Boston Marathon today, is that right?
Yeah, his wife, Laura, who she's run a couple of Chicago marathons, I believe, but she's making her Boston Marathon debut today. And I was exchanging texts with Jim last night. I just dropped the text. I said, please wish Laura well. Her first Boston Marathon, and he wrote back that, well, you know, cross your fingers because the weather forecast is brutal here, and, you know, it's not unlike what it is in Chicago, except it's rain there, cold and rain, but pretty impressive. They have five kids. I think the oldest, Luke, is just about to depart for college, and all the way down to some little ones, and she has a rather hectic schedule, but has found time to train for the Boston Marathon and qualify for the Boston Marathon. So it's pretty cool accomplishment, and hopefully all goes well yeah. for her today.
Well, I admire people that can do that, Dave. I mean, I don't know how he finds the time to. I know he rides along with her in Chicago on her training route. So
yeah, I'm not sure how he has time for breakfast, let alone that, but. That's a different story.
Hey, Dave, great to catch up with you. We'll catch up with you in the fall for football.
He'll be here before you know it, Brian. Right. Good talking to you.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
All right. It's our friend Dave Ennett, does the Northwestern Wildcats. And just talking about the 70th anniversary, WGN Television, and broadcasting the Cubs. You want to take a quick minute break here, Ed, or go right to Michael? Let's go to Michael, do the news, and we'll come back. Richard's on the line. He's holding on. Any comments on all of this? Whatever we've been talking about today is fair game, from James Comey to the Cubs on TV to Ebertfest, anything in between, all straight ahead in the last half hour.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397. Email talk at wdws.com. or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And we're back here in the final 20 minutes of Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS. Couple of notes here. Jack Brickhouse also did the Bears. Got a text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Says the President Obama's shovel-ready jobs were like his red line to Syria. Lots of talk. He was a great talker. Little else brought to the table unless you're a fan of degenerating race relations, confusion on what toilet to use, sending guns to cartels, uranium to the Russians, or billions to terrorists. That on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. Also good news, Tatiana McFadden back on top. The University of Illinois graduate won this morning's women's push rim wheelchair race at the Boston Marathon, coming in first, a time of 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 39 seconds. This is McFadden's Boston Marathon title. She won four straight from 2013 to 2016. Richard is on the phone line here this morning. Hi, Richard.
Good morning, Brian. Initially, I want to say dittos to the text you just read about the Obama administration.
Okay.
I appreciate the gentleman, I think he was your first caller today, concerned about the expenditures of tax funds on some beautification utilization project, which is redundant, apparently, what's already there in Westside Park. And I remind everybody that when Obama took office, he had a $700 billion emergency expenditure and money printing project. Most of that money went to state unions, SEC, teacher unions, state employers unions, to fund them so that they would continue to fund through contributions other Democrats, smaller level Democrats. But anyway, that's the way life is.
Okay.
Now, I have a tongue-in-cheek comment for you.
Yes.
You said at the start of the second hour that you're amazed at how quickly this time passes. I want to remind you that Rush has coined and maybe even copyrighted the phrase the fastest 3 hours in broadcasting, so I wouldn't want you to get in bad light with
that. That's true. Yeah, that's right.
Now, you want comments. I want to comment on Syria's use of chemical weapons and also Comey. Syria was maybe not the end destination of a 40-truck caravan that started in Iraq before our large invasion in, 2002, was it? I don't remember that. Supposedly,
yeah.
Those trucks were filled with chemical weapons what was his name? Saddam Hussein was shipping out of his country.
How quickly we forget,
Pardon?
How quickly we forget. Saddam Hussein. Yeah,
he was. Russia's point was that they don't know where those weapons ended up, and they very easily passing through Syria. I think they were headed for Jordan. May have fallen into enemy hands to be reused to incriminate the Syrian government, but that's speculation. Mm-hmm. But I want to comment now on Comey. What an embarrassment. To me, he is in the mold of the first Democrat you can see in the Bible, and his name was Pontius Pilate. Comey essentially has adopted the expression, what is truth? He has clearly exonerated Hillary Clinton and all of her associates in any wrongdoing and any governmental position she had, particularly Secretary of State. The expression, looking at things through rose-colored glasses? Comey took a rose-colored Coke bottle and examined Clinton's activities. He's taken an electron microscope out to look at Mr. Trump. And I think it's reprehensible that the media in general hold him to a very high standard and think Comey is a voice of truth when he's just another lackey for the Democrats.
Well, I realize, when you're in a job situation, like he was meeting the new president and, he felt pressure. There was the question of, hey, I want loyalty. I don't know. I'm just of a mind, if you've ascended to that position, you're the head of the FBI, if it bothers you that much, tell the president, no, I can't do that, and I'll resign if you ask me to.
And
that's what I think. Now, there are other people that, you know, will tell me, no, you know, he's in a new spot. He wants to, you know, he doesn't want to get fired right off the bat. He wants to try to, you know, work with this new president and, you know, hold his tongue and not say that. It seemed like every time he came to a point, whether it was with the Clinton emails or whatever, he couldn't decide what he wanted to do, and so he did something, and then he had regrets about it. I don't know. I'm just puzzled a lot of times by his activity, I guess.
Well, I think he obfuscated much of Hillary's activities, and I hold him accountable personally. Now, he's not going to run for any office where I would or wouldn't vote for him, but I'm unhappy with so many things in the political scene today. But anyway, I sure appreciate having you hosting the show and being able to talk your mind. And
cool.
You know, if somebody wants to call in and tell me, hey, I'm crazy, I got rocks in my head, well, I understand. I am 71.
It's all right. Hey, thank you, Richard.
All right, Brian.
Good to visit with you. Back with more Penny for Your Thoughts. We have Carl and Brian up next, and more texts and emails after this. All right, we're back. Penny for Your Thoughts. Brian Barnhart with you this morning up until 11 o'clock. We're at 10:48, 30 degrees, had snow all morning. It seems to have tapered off, at least here in downtown, but it looks cold out there. Happy birthday today. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is 71. Bill Belichick, you know him with the Patriots, he's 66. Pope Emeritus Benedict the 16th, Pope Emeritus, turns 91 today. And this was the day in 1999, Wayne Gretzky, the great one, announced his retirement. 15 years ago, 2003, Michael Jordan played his last NBA game as a member of the Washington Wizards. A little bit of history there, sports-wise. Back to the phones. Carl, good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good, Brian. How are you?
Good.
Well, there were. I wanted to mention that there were a couple inaccuracies in what Dave Hennett said about WGN.
All right.
Okay, first of all, WGN Radio did not have the Cubs on for 90 straight years. There was a period of between 1945 and 1957, I believe it was, where the Cubs were on WIND Radio.
Okay.
And the White Sox weren't on WGN, haven't been on WGN as long as the Cubs have been on. There was a situation, I believe it began in 1969, that the White Sox decided that they were going to change television stations, and they went to UHF station WFLD-TV, and that's when the Cubs expanded the number of games they had on WGN, and the White Sox ended up, because of the difficulty people had getting UHF,
mm-hmm.
The Cubs kind of skyrocketed because people were able to watch the Cubs a lot more easily than they were able to watch the White Sox.
Yeah. Did that have something to do with Eddie Einhorn, the whole thing with the
Sox? No, that was – I think the name of the owner of the White Sox at that time was Allen.
Okay.
And they – this was way before Reinsdorf and Einhorn bought the White Sox.
Okay.
Well,
very good. Well, thank you, Carl.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. I appreciate it. 356-9397. Next up is Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, Brian. I just wanted to call and tell you how much I appreciate your show. You're a real professional, a gentleman, and you allow people to speak and fully represent their thoughts. And, I tell you, that Ed Bond is a prince of a guy, too. I really look forward to calling and speaking to both of you.
Well.
And you're just a very nice man, and it shows, and I'm sure that everybody listening appreciates it very much.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you, Brian.
And what do you think of Mark Smith going to Missouri?
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, didn't he originally was going to play baseball there, right? I think that was the original idea.
Are they getting the old gang back together? They're taking Gross's recruits and moving them here to there, you know?
Well, that'll heat things up for December of 2019 anyway.
Yeah, I wonder if he's got the right stuff to make it.
I don't know. We're going to see. I think he does. I just think his I think he got impatient. I think his parents got impatient. You know, not every freshman's going to have a year like Trent Frazier did. I mean, it just doesn't happen. So
it'll be sad if he turns out to be some kind of a great player, but I wish him well, but at the same, you know, it wasn't a good fit for him here for whatever the reason, and we're going to move on.
Well, it may work out for him. I just think they gave up too quick. Collectively, I think the family did.
Yeah, I think he did too.
So, all right.
Keep up the good work, Brian, and tell Ed he's doing a great job.
Well, he is. He has for a long time. Well, thank you, Brian.
He's a sweet fan too.
Yes, he is. Bye. Thank you, sir. Back with more after this. Penny for your thoughts. News Talk 1400. For your thoughts continues, Corey Swanson is a hands-on owner of Swanson Roofing, the Roofing Dog. He's a graduate from Rantoul High School and the University of Illinois, and the Roofing Dog is truly a family-owned business, 100% owned and operated by Corey Swanson and his wife, Melissa. These are great people, local. They're concerned. They want to do a great job. Swanson Roofing guarantees their workmanship for the lifetime of your roof. The materials they use are guaranteed for 50 years. What year is that? 50 years from now. It's way out there. Swanson Roofing will help you with small repairs and help save your roof, even if they did not do your roof. They're happy to come out and fix any problems. Crew or company employees receive full benefits and 401k, so they have an incentive to do a good job. Get a free estimate. Find out what it might cost you, or maybe it won't. Maybe they'll say, hey, you got another year or two left in this. Call 355-ROOF, 355-7663, or visit Swanson Roofing, theroofingdog.com. Time for about one more call here. Carolyn. Hi, Carolyn. Good morning.
Good morning. I just was listening to your advertisement about 50 years, and I just wanted to tell people that our church is following the tradition of over 50 years of having our annual sausage supper this coming Saturday evening. And I wanted to let people know that will be a great meal, and it's St. Peter's United Church of Christ on Russell Street, and like I say, we've been doing this for over 50 years, and we have sausage and sauerkraut and green beans with bacon and mashed potatoes, and it's a great meal, and it's this Saturday from 4 to 7.
You just made me very hungry.
Good. Well, then I'll sell you a ticket.
Very good. Saturday, 4 to 7. So they just come to the door and... come in, huh?
They can get tickets at the door, yes. Okay. We have a lot of people out selling tickets, but, you know, just like this, we're still a lot at the door, and that would be great.
Okay.
And that, like I say, it's 905 South Russell.
All right. And St. Peter's United Church of Christ.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Very good. Thank you
very much.
Thank you, Carolyn. All right. Okay. Appreciate all the phone calls today. I'm sorry I'm out of time. To our remaining caller or two there, if you want to call us back tomorrow, feel free to do that. More texts as well, comments. Surprised not more comments about Mark Smith transferring to Missouri. Was Mizzou making back-channel contacts? Well, Smith was an Illini. That on the text line. We'll talk about that and more tomorrow. Thanks for being with us, and we'll visit with you tomorrow at 9 a.m. on WDWS Champaign-Urbana.